Blog Talk Radio.
Come over to the window, my little darling. I'd like to try to read your palm. I used to think I was some kind of gypsy boy. Before I let you take me home. Now so long, my friend, it's time we began to laugh and cry and cry. You know that I love to live with you, but you make me forget so very much. I forget to pray for the angels, and then the angels forget to pray for us. So long, Marianne, it's time we began to laugh and cry and cry and laugh about it all again. We met when we were almost. In the green lilac park, you held on to me like I was a crucifix. As we went kneeling through the dark, oh, so long, Marianne, I'm weeping. Cry and laugh about it all again. Your letters, they all say that you're beside me now. Then why do I feel alone? I'm standing on a ledge, and your fine spider web is fastening my ankle to a stone. Now so long, Marianne, time that we began to laugh and cry and cry and laugh. About it all. For now I need your hidden love. I'm cold as a new razor blade. You left when I told you I was curious. I never said that I was brave. Oh, so long, Marianne. It's time that we began to laugh and cry and cry and laugh about it all. Such a pretty one. I see you've gone and changed your name again. And just when I climb this whole mountainside to wash my eyelids in the rain, oh, so long, Madeline. And we began to laugh and cry and cry and laugh about it all.
That was Leonard Cohen, So Long, Marianne. I really like the Leonard Cohen, the Best of Leonard Cohen. And, of course, he's got full-length albums that are fantastic as well. So, anyways, this is an impromptu show. I was supposed to have Carol Borkowski on tonight, who is a psychic medium, but she couldn't make it. So I am just winging this and just going to talk a little bit about different things. Been going through some stuff with my dad and being quite tested. And what I'm learning is that all we have, as my friend Carol Patton says and other people, is the moment that we're in. Dolores said to me also, be present. Just be present in the moment. Don't focus on the past or the future and what if. Now, I know Eckhart Tolle wrote the book, The Power of Now, which I heard is a fantastic book. I have not read it myself, but I'm guessing that this is the gist of being present in the moment, obviously, from the title. So, check that book out. I think it's important for all of us to be present and to know that exterior things, people have expectations of you, of course, and you like to try to, you know, please other people, and, you know, there's commitments that we must do no matter what. Of course, when you're taking care of a ill parent or you have children or something like that, or your job, obviously, we do have to meet those expectations. We shouldn't make any expectations of ourselves independently, I don't think. And that means that I'm doing the best I can, and so are you. And with everything going on, I mean, you can't do any more than what you're doing. So I think that's, you know, very important that we do live in the moment and, you know, take care of what we can take care of in the best way we can and just let go of any expectations or outcomes that we might be running through our brains. We can't help it because we're only human, you know. Thank you, Raven and Alicia, for being here. This, as I said earlier, this is just an impromptu show. My guest canceled. I have a little bit of time before I have to go back to my dad's. So I thought, let's just chat. So if either of you gals want to call in and talk, I would appreciate it. I would love that. I'm just going to talk about spin. And of course, we had the blood moon the other night. Oh, my God, it was so beautiful. You know, so I went outside from my dad's, and it was about 10:30, I think, when I left my dad's, 10:30 or 11, and there were people, there was an older woman sitting on a bench looking at the moon and two younger people. And I said, wow, isn't, you know, you guys looking at the moon? And so the younger girl said to her boyfriend, we'll be 50 the next time this happens. And that will be in 2033. And I said, I'll be dead the next time this happens. I said, well, I'm almost 50 right now. And so the girl, you know, they laughed. And then the girl's like, no way, are you 50? I go, yeah. So anyways, whatever. But it was funny. But yeah, that was spectacular, blood moon and the eclipse. It was just really cool. Anyways, I hope you guys got to see it. And Alicia. And Alicia's younger than I am. So what else? All right, so now my dad was in the hospital, and they said he had pneumonia and that he had 2 days to live. So, of course, what am I going to do? I'm, like, going crazy. I'm at the hospital. I'm bawling my head off, and I'm preparing my, I have been for the last 8 years, to lose my father, who, you know, I've said this a million times, and I'm just going to say it again, who was the best father anyone could ever have. I know you guys probably think the same thing, but maybe a lot of people do, but I don't think so. So anyways, I'm at the hospital, and I'm, like, singing to him, and I'm, you know, I'm looking at him. I'm like, who's your favorite dad? And just really so emotional. And so I started talking to the nurse who was on call. Her name was Andrea. And I said, Andrea worked in Alzheimer's for years. And it's so strange because I'm the sweetest little old ladies turn into monsters from Alzheimer's. They wanted to claw my eyes out. She goes, did your father ever get like that? I said, once again, no. And I said, there always was the sweetest man, and he remained sweet through this whole thing of Alzheimer's. And that blessing, there's nothing, you know, I mean, there's probably other things about this disease and what I'm dealing with that is a blessing. Certainly him remaining sweet was definitely a blessing for us, because I do see other people who have Alzheimer's getting very angry, you know. So, but my father, meek and mild and sweet as he's always been. And so anyways, I said to him, well, did you know these old ladies? She goes, well, I knew when they were sweet. And then, you know, and then when they turned, I said, but you didn't really know who they were. Because my opinion, and I'm probably wrong, my opinion is that if you are angry in the first place, this is going to bring it out even more, this confusion, this, you know, brain disease is going to bring out your anger and that even more. Now, I'm probably wrong, and forgive me if I am. But I said, you guys are going to laugh at this. I said, well, you didn't really know those little old ladies that turned into monsters. For all you knew, they were, you know, for all you knew, they were Nazis, right? So she laughed, and so anyways, it was funny. So, okay, so Jackie, thanks for being here, and thank you, Carol, so much. Carol was baking a cake. I asked her to come on, but she's making dinner. Her son, you know, she's tending to her son. Carol's got a hell of a lot on her plate as well, and so I appreciate you being here. I actually asked Jackie if Layla wanted to come on and do a couple readings, because Layla does readings. With cards, and she's also psychic on her own. So it's interesting. So Alicia's saying, that's very interesting. It's anyone close to death. I know a wonderful woman who was very angry and hostile in her days prior to death. She had cancer. And then my father was the sweetest. I bet he was, Alicia. I bet. I said to my sister, my father's always been positive and never been sick a day in his life before this happened. You know, so they asked, the doctor asked, when's the last time your dad was in the hospital? And my sister said, when he was born. So anyway, I'm sorry, I'm cackling away. So anyway, you know, so then whatever, we talked, me and the nurse, Andrea, she's very nice, very nice. I thought he was going to die before I could get back there. And she's like, go home and sleep for a little while. I'll call you if anything happens. She goes, call me if you just can't sleep. So I called her at about 5 in the morning. I'm crying. I'm tossing and turning. And I call her and I go, Andrea. She goes, he's okay. He's still breathing. And I said, okay. So anyways, all right. So the point of this whole story is that my father was supposed to die 2 days ago. The two doctors said he's got two or three days to live. So here's what is going on right now. He's not dead. He is, you know, of course he's got Alzheimer's and he's not very good in any case. I mean, he's totally incapacitated in every way, but he's still alive and I'm still getting a smile out of him. So, okay. So what did I learn from that? And what am I learning from that is that I said at the beginning of the show, expectations. Oh my God, he's going to die. He's got a day. He's got 2 days. He's got 3 days. Look, I need to calm down. I need to calm down and realize that whenever he goes, whatever his timeline is, it's okay. It will be okay. I have to remain strong. I have to try to, you know, be as positive as I can. As I was saying before, all the positivity I got came from my dad. I love my mother. Believe me, Mom, I know you're listening to me. But my mom was a tiger. And my mom was tough. My mother taught me strength. She taught me to stand up for myself. She taught me to speak up for myself. And my dad taught me love and faith and patience all of my life. So the two of them together, one an Aquarian, who's my dad, and one a Sagittarian, who's my mom, the two of them together, you know, made who I am today. So I appreciate that. Now someone's calling in. I'm going to see who this is. Let me see. Hello there.
It's me.
It's me.
Them doctors.
Them doctors.
It's just me,
it's
those
just
doctors,
me
and
those
I have Bond Brown.
Because you never say
what the timeline is. That's all statistically
speaking.
Right.
Brain.
Right. Yeah. This is
I'm
Carol,
echoing.
Guys.
I'm echoing.
Yeah, I know. You're echoing a little
bit.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Listen here. It's Carol. No, but I mean, so two of the doctors are like, he's going to be, you know, he's not going to have long to live. He's got 2 days, 2 or 3 days at the most. And I'm like, Jesus, you know, I'm calling people. I'm telling them my dad's dying. And I'm like, you know, but I mean, you know, what, Carol? So the point is, like, you told me, as I said at the beginning of the show when you weren't here, you said, live in the moment. That's all we can do. But as I also said earlier, being human, it's hard to live in the moment. We want
we got to remember, I don't know if everybody knows, but a nurse is what I was for quite a long time. And I have dealt with Alzheimer's. My grandfather had Alzheimer's. I mean, it's not an easy road to hoe. The personalities change. You do everything you can. I mean, oftentimes they will revert back to their childhood. It's not an easy road to hoe for anybody. When you're taking care of somebody like that at home, it's just so difficult. I know because I've been down this road. But a lot of people don't know it, and it's just a very tough time. And as far as them doctors, I've gone around with doctors. You don't tell anybody what time that they're going to go. You don't know that. God, the universe knows that. We don't know that. We're not supposed to know that.
Right. Right.
I'll try to behave.
No, we're not supposed to know that. You're right, Carol. So, you know, you're right. So I've got to, you know, as even Chris said to me, she said, don't listen. And Amy said the same thing. Don't listen to prognosis. And just do what you're doing. Keep doing it. And that's all I could ever do, you know.
You're right.
So,
you are absolutely right.
And I'll tell you what, I said to the nurse, Andrea, that night, I said, I will never, ever, ever – forget the people that helped me during this whole thing, which has been you, Raven, Donna, Alicia, Jackie, so many other people, but certainly everyone in the chat room. And but I said, I will never, ever forget who helped him, but I sure as hell, and forgive me for saying this, I sure as hell will never forget who didn't help me. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. Yeah,
so
I
have met, I've met angels, and I've met people that I couldn't believe there was any substance to them with this whole disease. You know what I mean? I mean, see, this is like, you know, people say to me, well, you can't be bitter, you know, and I, believe me, I don't want to be bitter, you guys. I don't.
Karine, let me tell you something, okay? First of all, mm-hmm. you're not bitter. You're hurt. You're hurt. You're trying to do the best job that you can do. You're not trying to be bitter. You don't know what to do, and you don't know where to reach to get the problem fixed. It is very heart-wrenching, and what people have to understand is Alzheimer's is a slow deteriorating disease. And it does change the personality. After 3 o'clock, oftentimes, you know, when you're dealing with an Alzheimer's patient, they can be sweet as pie up until that time, and then all of a sudden they can snap and turn the opposite and be mean. They're not the person that you've known, but that doesn't change how you feel about them. You love them no matter what. And, sometimes they'll snap back into the present, but oftentimes they go to their past, and that's the truth.
Right. Well, my father has been very level with, he doesn't get angry. He's never gotten angry, as I said. And he's just very meek. Like when he tries to say a word now, he can hardly get it out. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. I understand. Believe me.
And that is, yeah, I know you do, Carol. I know you do. You live with this type of thing every single day, 24/7. I know you do. But so, you know, like I don't want to appear like I'm bitter or you know, like I don't like that. But I know that I have to give myself a break, too, because at this time I need to do what I need to do. I need to say what I need to say in order to go through this, to, you know.
Correct.
And so, I mean, I can't censor myself every other phone call, you know. I honestly I've lost friends over this. I have decided I didn't want to talk to them anymore because they just, you know, they didn't seem to get it. And I just, you know, so I've lost a lot of friends. On the other hand, I've gained a lot of friends too. So, you know, it's just a way of life, I guess, you know. It's like, you know, to roll with life and what happens. It's easy to say, yeah, roll with it, freaking, you know, and it's like the ups and downs. Like I named the show The Carousel of Life. I said, I'm on the carousel of life and death, and I don't know which horse to get on. You know what I mean? They're all pretty, you know, but I don't know which to get
on.
Well,
this is the thing, Karine. I'm going to tell you this is the thing. When you're going through this kind of thing, you're grieving every day. This is like a grieving process for you, and it's also, I want to take care of things. I want to make sure everything's fine, and that's what people don't realize. And when you're going through that, there's a hole in your heart. There's a hole in your heart, and that's the best way to explain it. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I've dealt with this, and you're trying to. Sometimes what I've noticed is people are feeling like they're rowing a boat up the stream, and it's so easy to go down the stream. It's such a tough thing to get up that stream. It's hard. It's a mentally challenging thing and a physically challenging thing. And if people don't get that, well, they need to get that.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. And I know, Carol, we cannot make people be who they're not. You know what I mean? We can't say, oh, you should be paying attention. You should be asking me this. You should be here when I need this. We can't make people do stuff that they don't want to do. And that's part of the letting go of expectations of other people, you know?
Yeah.
That's
the smartest thing that you can ever do, and it doesn't matter what situation you're in. Do not go for expectations of people, because that is your first stumbling block. That is your first stumbling block of all things. Mm-hmm. You know, you expect this to be this way. That's the illusionary factor. The illusionary factor of, okay, we're born, we're going to go through life, we're going to have a good time, then we're going to go have, you know, we're going to grow up, we're going to get married, we're going to have children, we're going to have this house, and we're going to be financially stable, and everything's great, then the grandchildren are going to come, and the grandchildren are going to be there, and it's going to be all fun, and we're going to retire, and everything's wonderful. Well, let me explain something. At the end of this illusionary factor, oftentimes one mate dies or one person pulls away, and there you are. You're still stuck in the illusionary factor of expectations of life. And that's why I say the best thing to do, the easiest, it's not really easy, is try to live in a moment. Try to live just for this moment, because you don't even know if you have another moment. Nobody knows if they have another moment in life. So you have to try to enjoy what you have at this moment.
Right.
And I can
right.
be quiet. This is your show, and I'm doing all the talking.
No,
so you can tell
no,
me, shut
listen.
Up.
No, Carol, like Donna just said in the chat room, you're an excellent person to talk to when someone's going through something like this. You always have been. You know, so I appreciate your love and your wisdom very much, very much. You've been a doll to me, you know, and I just can't say thank you enough, you know, really.
Well,
but
I want to tell you, I do care about people, and I know you do, and you've got a big heart, Corrine. And when I do things, even when I'm doing readings, I'm doing it from my heart. I'm getting the information above. I mean, that's where I get a lot of, you know, my intuition kicks in. You know, I'm a numerologist. You know, I'm a nurse. I'm a mom. I'm grandma. I'm just the same as everybody else. And the thing is you got to take time for other people. And a lot of people don't want to do that. They want to rush on
right.
with their life, and they don't want to deal with the things that are tough. You know, they don't want to see anything negative. And I don't like seeing it either. But I'll tell you what, I see it, I deal with it to the best of my ability. And if I can help somebody, I will do my best to do that.
Right, right. And you're right. Like, I think I wrote a poem once that said, well, this was about, you know, I'm so good at writing romantic poems or whatever. The poem said, you want the soft candy. You want but when it comes to something hard, you don't want it. You want the nice, sweet, chewy, pliable things, but you don't want the hard, you know? And, anyways, I could go off about love affairs, but I'm not going to. No, it's so funny. I can tell you a funny story just to break things up, because we're all like dour and stuff. So the other day we had my father's fundraiser. And, yeah, Donna, the sweet pliable candy will rip your teeth out. Indeed. Indeed. So we're at my father's fundraiser the other day, and I'm like, geez, there's not one cute guy in this place, right? And even though there was Carol, talk for a second, because I just got to see who that is.
Okay, listen, guys, don't eat the soft candy. The soft candy will pull your teeth, and so will hard candy. I'm just giving you the news flash of the whole situation.
I don't know
I'll
who
try
that
to
was. They hung up. I don't know who it was. So, anyways, I'm like, geez, there's not, you know, there was four bands, right? And I'm like, not one cute guy among them, right?
Oh my God.
So, because at times like this, you need some kind of distraction. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So,
oh,
anyways,
yeah.
So then my friend Julie says, "Well, look at that guy. He looks like your old boyfriend, Chris, right?" I'm like, oh, he looks like a poor man's Chris, right? Meaning, like, that Chris is so handsome, nobody comes close to him, you know, like, in my opinion, anyway. So, but I'm like, oh, he's kind of cute, right? So I go over, he's standing against the wall with a bunch of other musicians, and I go up to the first guy next, like, that was two people down from him, and I said, "Do you have a lighter?" And he goes, "No." I asked the next guy, "Do you have a lighter?" "No." So I asked that guy, And I said, do you have a lighter? And he goes, yes, I do. So he gives me his lighter. And I go outside, I have a cigarette, I come back in, and he's sitting in front of the band, watching the band, and that song was on You Can Call Me Al, you know, by Paul Simon, you know. And mm-hmm. I was like, I kind of like that song, you know what I mean? So I was like, so I lean down, and I give him his lighter back, and I put my face next to his, and I go, I was going to ask you to dance. And he kind of, like, presses his face against mine, and he says, oh, my God, I am such a horrible dancer. But for some reason, we were both kind of holding, like he was holding my shoulder and I was holding his shoulder. I don't know. It was weird, right? So I go, okay, well, I'm a really bad dancer, too. So anyways, then I walked away from him and I went to where my sister was sitting. And she's like, you know him? I said, no, because you were practically just making out with the guy, right? And I said... I go, no, I wasn't making out with the guy, right? So she goes, oh, my God, it was like you knew him the way you guys were interacting. I said, no, I don't know him. So comes to find out, right? When I say that comes to find out, it sounds so funny to me. Come to find out. So I find out that, this kid, I go, he looks pretty young, right? So then I find out that he's actually the little brother of a girl that I know. And one of her little brothers. And I was, and he's only 33, right? And I was like, oh my God, he probably went around telling people I was mauled by an old lady.
Oh my God. But 33 is a good number. 33
is
a good number. I'm telling you right now, 33 is a good number. Listen, I know numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I know a thing about numbers.
Right. Well, you know, Jesus was 33 when he was crucified, supposedly, you know? So I don't know. When I was 33, I was like, I'm at the crucifixion age. You know what I mean? But,
yeah, but
anyways,
33, you know what? 33 is about loving people and looking out for the underdog always. I'm telling you, that is like the motherly love is sent out. That's like, which, okay, if Jesus died at 33, which I don't know, but at 33, if you think about the message that he was giving, it was to love everybody, and he was trying to protect everybody. And that
mm-hmm.
number is very strong in that. But I'll shut up about numbers.
No, so anyways, I'm just saying he was a little too young, but, you know, but he seemed so nice. You know what I mean? I just wanted to have some sort of, you know, distraction. And,
sure,
you know, anyway, it was just, you know, it was just silly. But I was like, I laugh at myself because it's like no matter where I am, I can find somebody to freaking, you know.
You've got to have personality. With that 3 number that is in your chart, that is very much you. That is you. That is you for sure. You got the gift of gab. You've got the go have fun, and that is just terrific. That's a beautiful part of you, and that is a beautiful part how you write, and you know it works great because you've got that creative energy. Corinne, you're such a good girl.
Thank you. I'm not always good, but when I am,
well, everybody's got an ornery streak. Listen, you know, I could tell you some stories, girlfriend. Let me tell you.
Well, like when my boyfriend broke up with me the other week or whenever the hell it was, that he didn't even really properly break up with me. He just stopped talking to me. So I was like, so, you know, I get on the phone call with him and I'm like crying and saying, you know, man, because we've been through, you know, almost 10 years now. We've been through a lot of history. And to talk to me like I'm a stranger after that long, and, you know, all this other stuff, I'm like, you know, so I was crying. So then the next day I got mad and I called.
Uh-huh.
And I freaking blasted him out like nobody's business. I blasted him out so bad that he couldn't take it and he had to hang up on me, right? But anyways, one of the jewel pieces that I said was, I said, you know, they call him Crow. And I'm like, you know, that's a good nickname for you because you're a scavenger.
That's funny.
No, I got to tell you, Carol, I hope I always have the wit that I have now because I can come out with stuff that will freaking slay you. You know what I mean? Like, you won't even know where it's coming from, but...
I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. I really do. You know, we all have, you know, our streaks. Believe me, I have mine.
With a frying pan, cool. Right?
Oh, yes. Oh, well, that's one instance. That's one of my little instances. Get me fired up, and I'll tell you what. When it comes to my family, I can be real short. When it comes to my friends, I have that part in me that says this ain't going to happen. This is not going to work. And the thing is I'm not very big, you know. So, I mean, and I'm old. So I knock people off balance, I'm sure. Hey, I feel old. Let me tell you. You know, and you it's not something that you think about doing, but it's like you got to deal with things, I guess. I'm not very good at dealing with them being calm, though. Mm-mm. I've got that personality.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you have a lot of bullshit to deal with on a daily basis. You really do. And I know, to me, you're ultra patient with it. I mean, I don't know what I would do, you know?
Well, when situations are put in front of you, you know, it's a fight or flight attitude, and it's like you're not, you know, I'll show you because I'm ticked. And I'll tell you, the story behind that people don't realize, you know, I'm sure that everybody's heard the story, but, and I probably shouldn't have spoke about it, but I will tell you, this gentleman that I was very ticked at, you have to understand one thing. And, it, you know, you can check in the newspapers. I'm not kidding about any of this. He had, first of all, he had given my daughter had gotten drugs off of him. That is her fault. That is her deal. I get that. But I'm still a mother, and I'm still going to try to protect her. And she actually, I mean, I'm putting this out on air. This is what happened. She, 3 weeks ago, she overdosed in a sheets bathroom from dope that she got off of him, and you know, they brought her back because they had the Narcan to bring her back. First of all, that was a very scary situation, but the reason the gentleman just got out of jail, and the reason the gentleman was in jail, I'm calling him a gentleman, but is because my daughter that has cancer had gotten a prescription. Because she has to take pain pills for the pain with the cancer, as well as, you know, I mean, she has different medications that she has to take. So he went into where she was living because she had opened the door for my grandson. He went in there, and he put a gun to her head, and he had choked her out and stole her pills.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he was in jail for that, and he is actually, you know, he's out on bail is what he's out on. And then he gave my other daughter, so when he was stupid enough to come to the door looking for my daughter, because she doesn't live there anymore, we, you know, we're trying to get her straightened around, I went into a rage. And it was like, you know, you hurt my girls, you're done. You're done.
Yeah.
So I overreacted, maybe, but, you know, people have to understand there's you know, I will do what I have to do, and if I am triggered, it will not be a good outcome.
Yeah, and how did you overreact? Because I don't see any overreaction. I would have
smashed the guy's hand. Listen, my David asked me if I would make him fried potatoes. I sent him to the store, okay? Thank God he was at the store. But I just was walking through from the kitchen to the dining room because I was gonna peel the potatoes and cut them up and put them in the pan and fry them. So I had the pan in my hand, and when I opened the door, you know, it was just really odd how things transpired because I wailed him, and then he ran out of his stupid shoe and fell. So that gave me all the more power to whack him some more and whack his car. But that I was mad. Listen, you know, I mean, and that's the story, people. I mean, it's not like I'm just a raving lunatic for no reason is all I'm saying.
No, you're not raving lunatic at all, because I would have taken that pan, that iron frying pan, and smashed the guy in the head so many times that he was knocked unconscious, and then I would have found something to kill him off. You know what I mean? Well, you could have killed
him. Well, I'll tell you. He flew out of there, let me tell you. You know, he flew out of there. And I'm screaming, don't you ever come back there. You know, here's me, some kind of, I look like a raving lunatic. But, you know, that's the story, guys. So, you know, I wish I could
be
more calm. But when I, you know, these are all things that, I was mad, let me tell you.
Yeah, I guess. You know what? That's like when I saw at my mom's funeral, this drug dealer walk in. I said, oh,
I can't.
Oh, no. I had two guys remove him, pick him up and remove him. You get out of here. What? Why are you showing your face here? You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
Believe me, you know, there's nothing that says we need to be quiet and be meek wallflowers, Carol. There's nothing. You know what I mean? Because, you know, people need to be told who they are and what time it is. And not everyone's going to do that, but we need to do that when we're able to. So,
well, I was caught off guard, needless to say. You know, well, I just didn't expect that. But believe me, he didn't expect me either. Trust me.
I believe it. Now, was it one of those heavy frying pans, like the pure iron
yeah,
ones?
Yeah, it's a cast iron skillet. Yeah, that's what I made. Actually, I made a cake. When I had talked to you earlier, I was making a pineapple upside down cake in that pan. You know, because I make, that's how I cook that. And, yeah, it's not a light little aluminum. It's cast iron. I mean, it's,
My
arm, my elbow hurt. Yeah, let me tell you. But, yeah, I was a bit sore after that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I tell you what, those pans are the best to cook with, too. Not only are they good for smashing people over the head, but they're good
I know. Well, the thing is because I like to fry. I really do, you know. But I'm old school, and I am, you know, my. This is how I grew up, you know, making things and using cast iron, you know. And so I just happen to have it.
right, handy. You should keep that pan by your bedside, Carol. You know what I mean?
I look like a raving lunatic. I tell you, I'm sure I did, but I don't know. I didn't see myself, of course, but. Oy.
Yeah, right. Well, I remember. It surprises yourself when you do something like this. I remember one time, this was when I was a teenager, somebody was harassing my sister's boyfriend. I didn't even like the boyfriend that much, but he jumped on my sister's boyfriend, and I jumped on the guy's back. And I pulled him down.
It's reaction. That's what it is. It's something has triggered you, and you're reacting. That's the facts. That's just how things happen. You know, and it's not a good, it's not really a good thing, because, like, nobody wants to go to jail for murdering somebody, which I did not murder him. I did not do that. He's going back to jail. But,
right.
You know, I mean,
that's
just.
That's better than murder.
Well,
you know
yeah. Yeah. because I mean, and everything I'm saying to you, other than, you know, about the frying pan, you can't see that. But if anybody thinks I'm kidding you, all you had to do was look up in the Sharon Herald, and it will tell about what he did to my daughter. It was in the newspaper. It's he, you know, he's in bad news. Bad news.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'll
tell you something. Until somebody deals with a drug addiction in their family, that is one of the trying things, because you're scared and you're trying to make them straighten around. And the thing is they have to do it, and you have to sit back and try to be as calm as you can as they're going through this, because you're trying to force their hand. Now, I mean, my daughter has been in rehab. She's been in rehab 3 times. She has to make the decision to straighten up. But I'm her mother, and this hurts me all the time. And I'm always afraid of that phone call where she's going to be dead. And you know what? I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But people don't realize that it's very straining.
Oh, my God. So bad. So bad. I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop, constantly, waiting for that phone call. I mean, it's inhuman what you got to deal with. Because, well, here's the thing, Carol, as we both know, when you're addicted like that, you're not even human anymore. You know what I mean?
No.
All you want, you'll sell your baby. People have sold their baby to get drugs, you know? So that
is
like,
it's terrible.
You know, when people joke about opiates and say, oh, yeah, I'm just getting to take one for fun, or, you know, but first of all, the opiates, the pills, are the same damn thing as heroin, okay? People are like, oh,
yeah, that's why they go to that.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's just pills. No, it isn't just pills. It's the same thing as heroin. So, you know, anyone doesn't, you know, listen, you got 2 ways to go when you're addicted, okay? And I know, believe me, I know this better than most. You got 2 ways to go. First of all, you can clean up, which only 3% actually ever get off of the drug forever.
Right.
Only 3%. Or you got a coffin made in China with your name on it. That's the only two ways to go.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
You are. I mean, and this is the thing, and this is what I deal with. And I'm not trying to whine about it. Believe me, I'm not whining about it. I'm just stating the facts. And this is the facts. And it is a very hard thing to sit back and watch your loved one addicted to stuff like this, and the fear of what is going to happen. And they will manipulate you. They lie to you. They will manipulate you, trying to get what money they can get, because they need this, you know, because it's not easy for them to come off of it either. I mean, they get very sick. It's a very bad situation when they're coming off of it. So, you know, it's just, and I'm still looking for my kid in this mess. You know, I'm missing the girl that I absolutely love, and I still love her. I just don't like the addiction. I don't like, and I've told her that, I love you and I will always love you. I do not like the addicted. I don't. And I'm not going to deal with the drugs, and I'm not going to deal with you around me when you're screwed up. I can't do it.
No
way.
And
if that makes me a bad parent, so be it, because I'm just being honest.
It doesn't. I know. I know you are. And believe me, it's hell. Hell, you know, and
it is.
Unfortunately, such is life that people, not to be rude, you guys, but I'm going to swear. I know, you know, you're used to me swearing anyways. People shit, right, Carol? And you got to pick up their shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is. You know, if they don't get the money off of you legally or by pity, they'll steal anything they can from you. As Jackie just said in the chat room, even when you try to get clean, the pushers come looking for you. They do.
That's what happens.
Like,
that is that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're like
I see
these drug dealers are like the Grim Reaper. You know what I mean? Like they don't care. They know. Yeah, I can get you hooked again. You're already hooked. You know what I mean? You're like, you're done, man. You're mine. I'm controlling you for the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you something. They do not like a raving maniac with a frying pan. They do not like that. I saw that firsthand. I will tell you that.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'll tell you, I don't know if they'll ever, like, you know, it wasn't a smart move on my part, but it's something that I did.
I think it was smart.
There you go.
I think it was smart. And how could it be otherwise, other than smart? He's wrong. He is wrong. And you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I would have done worse to the guy if I got a hold of him, honestly. So, yeah, don't worry about that at all, you know. But like Donna's saying, the guy could have had a gun. What if he had a gun? What if he had a knife? What if he, you know?
I know, and I have thought of that. Trust me. I have, after the fact, I thought about that. But I'll tell you what, in reality, probably he didn't have one on him because he just got out of jail.
Right, right, yeah.
That's probably why he was not packing. But I wasn't even thinking clearly about that at all.
No, no, right. But I mean,
to be honest with you, this is the way I feel about it too. And I mean, I'm just giving you from my honesty, is when it comes to your family or your children, if he would have shot me, so be it. So be it.
Mm.
You know, right. If it was my time to go, guess what? I'm out of here. I'm out of here when it's my time to go anyway. So however it may be, so be it. Whether it's a quick shot or whether it's I have a heart attack or, you know, whatever it is, whatever happens to me, when it's my time, I'm gone. So it doesn't matter. I guess it just doesn't matter. I guess that's my attitude with it. And whether that makes me right or wrong, I don't know, but that's the truth.
Right. Well, what is right or wrong? What's right is what makes you, you know, like truth. What is truth? Everyone's got different truths. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So whatever you feel good about doing, and you're not going to feel great about it, but you're not going to feel bad about it either. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's like we need vigilantes, you know?
Well, like I said, I wasn't thinking. I just did it. And you know what? I'm not sorry I did. I wish I wouldn't have been put in the position I had to.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But that wasn't my call, you know?
No, no. The guy deserved it and more, honestly, you know? So, but yeah, so anyways, and Alicia dealt with the same thing, you know, with her wife, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, Alicia, I hope you don't mind me saying so. You know, she marries this woman who's got one personality. Pretty soon, it's swallowed up in addiction and whatever the girl turns into, you know, you turn into a non-human. You're not freaking human, as I said. So, you know, she's like, got to deal with the fallout for years of this chick. You know what I mean? Dealing with it, really, you know? It's like I said, other people's shit, and we gotta shovel the shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
I get it.
You know? Yeah, Raven, looking forward to my afterlife so I can haunt those non-believers. Exactly. It's like, you know, I don't want to be a haunting. Like, I hope I don't have to haunt anybody. I hope I don't haunt anybody because I hope that I just, like, you know, traipse off into the sunset. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you what, right now as a human, I do want to do some haunting. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Because you know what? But I'll tell you what, and I thought about this. When we go to the afterlife, we're going to do a life review, and we're going to look at all this stuff. And we're not going to be as like human, like we're not going to have these terrible emotions. And I will tell you, we're going to look at this tapestry of what we lived through, and we are going to see things in a different light, a much different light.
Yeah. Like I heard a guy saying not too long ago on a show, we're more reflective afterward. And now whether that's true, I mean, Okay, so then we see other stuff, Carol, like people saying, oh, my God, my mother-in-law is haunting me. And, you know, this type of stuff. Now, is this BS or what? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, you don't take stock in that, right? Yeah.
Mm-mm, no, I don't believe so.
Yeah.
I don't believe. You know, I don't believe that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and, you know, I mean, there's so much to say about the afterlife and what, you know, I mean, I do believe that the afterlife is what you think it is, what you have in your heart, you know. So there's not like an exact hell, but it's a place where people who never had any faith, never showed any love, they're going to go to that place that's in their heart. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, you're correct.
I don't wish ill on anybody, but I mean, I'm just saying people, you know, will they ever learn? I don't know. Maybe they'll be stuck in that purgatory of sorts forever. I don't know, you know. Okay, so Raven's saying, my mother-in-law was actually calling my name. I never met her. Right. Yeah, so all the relationships we have, we can't even fathom who meant what and why they were in our lives. You know what I mean? Like, if you believe the whole thing.
I know.
Like the frying pan guy. If you believe that he was put here to give you that, you know, experience, you know, that is an easy for people to say, oh, you know, and maybe it's the God's honest truth. I don't know. But Hitler, when I ask everyone about Hitler, oh, he's, you know, he had a role to play. He played the role, blah, 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 you know. And it's like, you know, I don't know. You know, did he have a role to play? Are nasty people meant to challenge us? You know what I mean?
Well, I know what you're saying, but I'm going to tell you, this is what I really believe in my heart about all that, too. This is what it is. People that do evil things, that intentionally think about how to do evil things. And I've said this before, when people are out of control, when you meet somebody that their thought patterns are rapid, you know, that they're just out of control. What they try to do is they try to control everyone around them. They try to control in any fashion that they can because they don't know how to control themselves. So that's the whole deal there. And they want to show that they let their ego get in the way of trying to show how tough they are. And the end result is they're really hurting inside and they're just, I mean, out of control. That's the best way for me to explain it. They're out of control within themselves. So the only way they can do things is to control everything that they don't like around them.
Right,
and
right.
It's wrong. It's wrong, but that's the way it is. That's the way, people work. And, you know, if you think about it, how would you really feel to be that evil person? What clicked you to make you like that? Because I don't think that we're born in this world. We start out as very loving children. There's love there. There's something that has gone on that has triggered.
I got 30 seconds left.
I didn't mean to take over your damn show.
No, I'm glad you were here because I would have been talking to myself the whole time. Okay, so Carol, thank you so much for joining me. I got to go to my dad's in a few. But thanks, everyone, for being here. I love that you guys came here and we had a chance to just be honest. And I love you, Alicia. I love you all. Thank you so much. I'll see you guys next time. I'm not sure when it is, but I will let you know. So thank you, guys, and have a rest of a fantastic night the rest of the night, and maybe I'll see some of you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.